Do we want to say, like, this is going to be a 90-minute show and actually, like, watch the time and stop at 90 minutes?
God, we'll never be able to do that.
Do we want to try? or even cut it at 2 hours if 90 minutes is too cramped for us now?
Is that some of the feedback we've been getting?
Oh, well, no, that's just from the discussion we had last week on that.
Oh, fuck that. Whatever. We'll just, you know, Jesus Christ. If you know what? When somebody comes along and is going to sign me a contract like O'Reilly's and going to fucking, like, put me a $25 million buyout, if I decide to fucking, like, harass a whole bunch of women, I guess, then yes, we'll start being precise on the time. How about that?
Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Friday, April 21st, 2017. I'm Sam Minter. Yvonne Bo is here again. Hello, Yvonne.
Hello!
And I'm trying to be really good about this. We're going to start out with the agenda real quick. Three major segments this week: foreign policy, domestic policy, and a lightning round with whatever doesn't fit into those categories, including things that aren't political related at all. Sound good? Sound good?
Marvelous.
That is the plan. So before that, right before we started, and actually carrying over a little bit to conversations that Yvonne and I have been having off and on for the last week or so, not necessarily on the podcast, but Yvonne's been trying to set up a flight simulator on his computer, and he's using X-Plane on the Mac. And I've used X-Plane on the Mac for a number of years because, you know, where it came for me, and I've played it much less in recent years, but somewhere around, I don't know, 2007, I'm going to say, 2007, 2008, I went through a period where, yeah, I was really stressed out about a bunch of stuff that was going on. And so I actually used it as a relaxation mechanism. I got the flight simulator program. I had it up and I would just, like, when I got tense, I'd just bring up the flight simulator and I'd just fly. Like, I wasn't trying to go, like, do anything fancy. I wasn't trying to do aerobatics. I wasn't trying to be, you know, religious about, like, making sure all the details were right or anything. I would just try to take off, fly about 20, 30 minutes, find another airport, land, and just, like, do it almost all manually, so not very much autopilot and stuff, because the process of sitting there in front of a computer watching the scenery slowly change sort of calmed me down, and I found it useful for that.
Well, okay, so I got it for different reasons. Well, number one is I'm going to crash. Anyway, I have a pilot's license, number one. Okay. Yes. All right. Yes. I actually know how to fly a plane.
Yes.
I haven't flown in a long time, but, you know, it's not
I know how to fly a flight simulator.
I used to fly a lot. Microsoft's flight simulator when I was a lot younger. Okay.
I remember the very first versions of what became Microsoft Flight Simulator, playing it on a goddamn TRS-80.
Yes, I used to play it.
Green screen, the six little gauges, and, you know, flying into the Sears Tower.
Out of Mies Field and crashing into Sears Tower. Exactly, yes, right. Yes. That's what you would do all the time, is try to find a way to crash into Sears Tower. Absolutely. Yes. That was the biggest entertainment about that. You know, so I wasn't really, and I used to play it, even the more advanced versions, into the 90s. But I haven't really flown a flight sim in a long time. Okay. But my son is big into airplanes, and all of a sudden I had downloaded an X-Plane demo years ago, but man, it's not really the most user-friendly application out there.
And this is where Yvonne and I were starting to talk right before the show. He's got X-Plane 10, which is the last released version. And I agree with him fully on that. It, like, just the intuitive nature of setting it up and getting the controls going and picking what you're doing next.
In any way, shape, or form.
This is a program that was designed to, you know, be an accurate flight simulator for geeks. And so there's wasn't a lot of time thought, I guess, into like laying out the controls in a way that were easy to figure out without reading documentation, I guess. But that is actually one of the things that they have improved greatly in X-Plane 11, which is still in beta right now, but I actually have the beta set up and,
I hate beta.
We've had this conversation on the show before as well, that like, you know, once upon a time we were all adventurous and did the betas and even alphas and played with all the new stuff, and now it's like release version only.
Beta my ass. I'm like, I want release. That's it.
I know. And I'm just telling you, so far, I usually follow that rule these days, but I have been using the X-Plane 11 beta only a few times. I mean, and with Alex, because he's recording stuff for his channel and stuff. And by the way, if you want to see him flying X-Plane 10, go to alexemzela.com, alexemxela.com.
My memory, plus I have like a stack of his cards.
Yeah, exactly. And go to the X-Plane playlist in the list of playlists. There are 4 videos up there right now. He's recorded many more, but we're way behind. And you'll see a few of them. It is terrifying to watch. He was 6 at the time these were recorded, to watch a 6-year-old fly a plane.
Well, let me put it to you this way. Amanu is 4, and I today, for the first time, I finally got the joystick and all the stuff. I finally today got him all rigged up so he could like try this thing, and he loved it. And I specifically went and got a plane that he would recognize. I got the official Boeing 777-1 and I got the American Airlines livery because he flies American Airlines all the time. He's really loves it. So I got him with all that. He was super excited about it. And let's just say that he had the passengers freaking out on this freaking plane like there's no tomorrow. Okay. And there is a sound effect in this damn game when you're really pulling the G's and you're doing something stupid with a thing where you hear the passengers in the back just going bananas. And oh yeah, they were really scared. And Manu just really liked on really like tearing at that joystick and getting them really scared.
That's excellent. For Alex, like, I don't think we ever played one that had the sound effects of the people in the back, but the electronic cockpits had the warning that if you're going down too fast, it goes sync rate. And Alex would love that.
You get the overspeed warnings, or you get there's a whole bunch of warnings that we'll get over here. You know, got the overspeed, you got the misconfigured, you turned off this, you did that. I mean, it's, you know, yeah.
Yeah. So it's like you get the, won't it be fun if we turn upside down and then dive into the ocean? You know?
Yes.
Exactly.
Right.
Which is exactly what you want when you're on, you know, a major airline, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially, you know, on a 777-300ER. I mean, what you want to be doing is like barnstorming buildings, you know, like trying to fly it around, like, you know. And actually, on this one, too, when you actually, if you're flying and you're pulling too many G's, it starts like acting like you're passing out.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know.
And those are other things you can set options on, and I'm sure this applies to other flight simulators too, but we're just talking about the one Yvonne and I have used, which is that, you can turn off that like blacking out effect, for instance. Right. You also, there's an option of whether or not it's realistic in terms of like, there's certain limits beyond which you'll actually like break the plane, like the wings will fall off and stuff. Right. And you can turn on or off whether, if that happens, you'll actually lose the wing and go out of control.
And I have those off because I haven't been able to break this plane yet. I mean, it should have broken already. With a lot of the stupid stuff that I've done. And by the way, the weather setting. So the other day I said, let me set some rough weather. Well, let me just say this. I set it up. It was too rough. I mean, look, it was rough enough that all I did was like turn on the flight sim, and basically there are hurricane force winds on the ground, and the plane just was like lifted off the ground without without me even like doing anything in the controls.
So now with this, one of the other things I like that X-Plane has is you can set it to track the real time and real weather. So you usually when I fly it, I almost always set it to track the real time and real weather. And I've usually started out near where I actually am in Seattle and then flown from there. But you know, when I've been playing for myself, now when I've been playing for Alex, whatever, and he likes to turn on the rough weather sometimes and, you know, change the time of day and all this kind of stuff. But, you know, before, and we'll move on to other subjects in a second, but Yvonne, now that we're both set up here, the other thing we have to do at one point is turn on the network play so we can fly together.
Oh, I've seen that you can do that, yeah. Well, I need to learn more how to fly this damn thing. I gotta be honest with you. You know, look, I feel almost like I need to go back to flight school with this damn thing. I swear to God. It's too frickin' complicated. I mean, well, I'm like, damn it. I'm almost like, have to pull up a frickin' operating manual for a frickin' 777 in order to set this damn thing up.
Well, see, here's the thing. Like, and this applies to all of them. And I promise all you guys, we'll move on to real topics in just a second. But you can take it as far as you want or as little as you want. Like I've flown in a bunch of planes that are included by this thing, but I don't mess with all the complexity. I'm like, you know, the bare minimum you need your throttle, you need your flaps, you need the landing gear, need the joystick, and you're done.
I want to set the auto. I want to, you know, use the flight computer and like all this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you can do all that, but I'm saying
ILS landing on this damn thing.
I'm saying is it's a spectrum, and with a simulator like this, they are very into realism and all those details. So if you want to go all the way and do all of that exactly as if you were, you know, a real 777 pilot, you can, or you can be like, flaps down two notches, throttle up, brakes off. Let's go.
Yeah, and the landings are not very realistic. I mean, like, right now, I don't have it set. I mean, I can basically, like, slam this plane on the ground, for God's sakes, like an idiot, like, right now. I want to try... Look, when I used to fly Flight Simulator, I could do a landing, like I was doing a landing if I was flying for real, okay? Mm-hmm. Of course, I've been so out of practice at using one of these right now that I can't do that right now. I cannot... You know, align with a runway, flare, land. No,
you're not doing a nice, gentle. You're just. No, hey, no. At least you hit the runway.
Yes, I did. Yes. I did hit a runway. Yes, but it was. Let's just say that was a stupidly, ridiculously awkward landing.
Gotcha. Okay, but so
I did hit the runway. Yes.
Let's move on from flight simulators. One more thing for this intro segment. I've got one more. Well, I want to say movie, but it's not really a movie. It's a video. It's a DVD I watched, and I have no idea where I got this from, how I got this, why I ended up with it, because it is not something I would have bought. But I had it, and it came up, and so, because, you know, I, of course, use randomization and lists to figure out what I watch next, and so this came up in the category of DVDs I own, but I've never watched.
DVDs you own, never watch, okay?
Yes. So this is War Greatest Hits Live from 2008.
What?
It's a concert video from the band named War.
you actually watched this?
Yes, I did. I watched this. I watched the whole thing. It was like 90 minutes long or something like that. 120 minutes. Sorry. It was 120 minutes. It was okay. I mean, like, do you know this band? Do you know any songs by this band?
All I can say is I think I've heard of the band.
I think, and
I have no idea. I cannot say anything intelligent about it.
So the only two songs that I recognized in any way while listening to this were Why Can't We Be Friends?
That's them.
That's them.
Okay.
and Lowrider.
All my friends know the Lowrider. The Lowrider is a little higher.
That's not even theirs, though.
Isn't? I don't know.
No, they were singing it, but that's not theirs.
Are you sure?
Pretty sure.
Because I think it was one of their only big hits. I don't know.
Okay. All right.
I'll look it up.
Of course. Okay, let's see.
Lowrider is a song written by American funk band War.
Originally by them, yeah.
There you go. On the album Why Can't We Be Friends?
The band has been around that long?
Yes.
Okay. The height of their popularity was in the 70s.
Yes.
And how in God's green earth did you wind up with a DVD of this?
I have no idea. I don't know where this came from. I don't know how I got it. I just know it was on my shelf and I'd never watched it. So it came up and I watched it.
You know, it was a lot better when you actually like picked random places to go to trips and actually went than winding up watching a damn DVD of War.
Well, you know, I've been thinking actually, like, you know, it's probably... Honestly, logistically, the next time we do a real full-fledged random trip, I mean,
I guess I'm going. Okay.
Well, sure. The next one that's been the next one on my list for like 20 years now, almost, is south of Cancun in the Yucatan. It's like about an hour drive south of Cancun.
I've driven around there.
Maybe further than that, I'm not sure. It's just north of the Belize border.
Okay. So, I like that. Yeah, I've actually driven towards that area.
That's the next place I want to go. But the difficulty is, now that I've got a family of four, it costs a shitload more than when it was just myself.
Well, I guess maybe we're not taking that many people.
Maybe. I don't know. I think every member of that family of four would be upset if I went on this trip without them.
You sure? Have you asked?
Well, maybe not Alex.
That's what I'm saying.
But I think both Amy and my wife would not be happy if I went without them. So, but anyway, but what I was thinking is, okay, so the reason that's been on the back burner for however many decades at this point, it is because the logistics of doing it with the whole family, the cost of doing it with the whole family, are just a crap load more than me doing it by myself.
Therefore, in order to leave some of them behind.
Yeah, yes.
We have to drop some excess baggage.
Yeah, and I just meet you there.
On both ends, I'm saying, because, you know, yeah, I mean, if I had to, you know, look, all I know is that if I drag my troops along, I would be hearing quite a lot of moaning and complaining.
Okay, Vod, so we'll just meet in Cancun next year or something.
I think that may be a better idea. Yes. Okay.
And then we'll hop in the rental car and drive to Belize.
Yes.
Okay. So
maybe the same shitty rental car I got back there 10 years ago, for God's sakes. It would not go over 65 miles an hour, despite any effort on my part.
Yeah. Well, but what I was going to say, as opposed to planning a trip to Mexico and Belize with you, is that I've been thinking about trying to revive it in a narrower world, like within driving distance of home.
And
doing, like, you know, maybe once a month, doing just a day drive somewhere within like 100 miles of home and going there and finding out what's there and then driving back.
Okay.
You know, and then I used to do these like big blog posts about it, but I'm thinking, you know, with Alex doing all this YouTube stuff, maybe instead I do a little YouTube video.
Yeah, YouTube.
You know, I can do a little time lapse of driving there and then take the camera out and explore wherever it ends up. And if I'm brave, maybe talk to somebody who's there, but I'm probably not brave, so I'll probably run away. But, you know, who knows? It might be fun.
Yeah.
Of course, the trick would be to keep it down to, like, you know, short enough that anybody other than me would watch it, you know. But, you know, possible, maybe.
Maybe.
Anyway, okay. That's it for this intro segment. Sorry for completely boring you with flight simulators and war and my random trips that I haven't taken in many, many, many years. And we will come back and we will talk about all of the developments in foreign policy in the last week or so. Sound good?
Sounds fantastic.
Okay, we will be back right after this. No, it's not the beginning of the show again. We're just taking a little time to credit the artist responsible for the music we use at the beginning and end of the show. What you are listening to right now is The O of Pleasure by Ray Lynch. The music we close our show with is Celestial Soda Pop. Both of these songs are from Deep Breakfast. Now platinum, Deep Breakfast was the first independently released album ever to be certified gold by the RIAA. Ray Lynch's other albums are The Sky of Mind, No Blue Thing, Nothing Above My Shoulders But the Evening, and The Best of Ray Lynch. You can check out Ray Lynch or buy his music at raylynch.com, iTunes, Amazon, or anywhere you usually find music. Okay, we are back. So, Yvonne, what happened in the world this week? We've actually had a bunch of stuff going
happened?
On all over the world.
What happened?
So let's see, where do you want to start? So just to mention in passing, one that actually happened a couple weeks ago, there was that attack in St. Petersburg.
St. Petersburg.
You remember that?
Yes, I do.
But it seems to have blown over fairly quickly, but I don't know. It probably just worth noting that it happened, at the very least. Next up, there is stuff from closer to home. One is this, there has been some talk, and we sort of have touched on this in the last couple weeks, but someone coined the name, and damn it, of course I should look it up. Maybe I'll edit that out. Or maybe not.
Maybe not.
So it's Kimberly Dozier wrote an article in the Daily Beast on April 17th titled New Power Center in Trumpland, The Axis of Adults. And basically her argument and what she was saying is in the foreign policy area, you have Defense Secretary Jim Mattis, Secretary of State Rex Tillerson, and Homeland Secretary John Kelly. And her argument, and along with other people like The new NSA advisor, General McMaster, the CIA director, Mike Pompeo, that these sort of group of people who Trump has appointed at, are acting as the adults in the room. They're people
who don't just think Putin is cool and, you know, fuck NATO and that kind of shit.
Yeah. And you know, for the most part, these folks haven't been all that loud or outspoken or anything. They've been sort of very quietly working in their little worlds. But the argument is that they are providing this sort of stabilizing influence of kind of establishment Republicans who are just a voice that's constantly in Trump's ear on sort of the more normal thing to be doing. I don't want to say necessarily more reasonable, because that's arguable, but at least more in line with what
the mainstream what foreign policy in America has been for, say, the last 70 years.
Right. Which is not to say it's what Hillary Clinton would be doing. Right. But it is saying it's probably more
Some of it would have been. I mean, I think that she may have bombed Syria.
Oh, yeah, she may have. I mean, some of this certainly is bipartisan in nature. But it's certainly more like what you would kind of expect out of, say, a George Bush. Not George. If we had gotten Jeb Bush or Marco Rubio or somebody like that. So it's sort of standard down the line Republicans, as opposed to, you know, people like Bannon, who've been losing in all of these internal arguments. All the word in the last few weeks has been, you know, Bannon's on the outs. He's losing influence. He's losing influence to Kushner. And now they're talking about this access of adults. And I don't know. I think there's something to this.
Look, I think that there is more than something to this. The reason why I say that is because somebody pointed out the other day, the headlines on Breitbart on the Trump administration were decidedly very negative.
Yes.
Extremely negative. And I was like, look, there is no way that this is happening without what's his face, you know, authorizing it. And you know this. There's no way. It's got to be, you know, him saying, you know, that you know, they're screwing me over. You know, I don't like this.
Right.
I think it has to be. I mean, do you really see any other way that Breitbart is like freaking like ripping apart the Trump administration? If it isn't with the ascent of Steve, if it isn't like in line with what Steve Bannon wants?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if Steve Bannon is actually calling somebody up and saying, please do this or not, but it's clearly, and that he might be, but even if he isn't, they know sort of their guy is under attack.
Right.
They don't like that.
Right.
You know, and so, I think that's part of the equation. But my question, and why I sort of said I think there's something to that, but maybe not everything to that, is that just because Trump has been sort of following the lead of these guys in a few things right now doesn't give me any confidence that that will remain so next week or next month.
Well, here's the thing about that I think I see about Trump. He just wants to do something that's popular.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, whatever the hell wins.
He wants to win. He wants people to like him. And as much as he rails on the mainstream media, he wants the mainstream media to like him. He wants the New York Times and CNN to be saying good things about him. And it drives him crazy when they don't.
He really isn't an ideologue. So if he has to, you know, if his ratings will improve by Bannon, I think he will fuck him over in a heartbeat.
I would agree. But you know, specifically on the foreign policy stuff, like I said, I think it is fickle. It is with the wind. It is him sort of trying to determine what he thinks will work this week to make him look good. And so, you know, if it happens to be that in the last few weeks, it's aligned with this so-called access of adults and he's been following their advice, great, but it may not be next time. Now, maybe he's learning that, you know, if you do the adult thing that kind of makes sense, it's actually most likely to have decent results and people will like you for that. With a little bit of kinetic action shown in there. Like, you know, whenever you start bombing people, you know, there's a certain crowd that goes, rah, rah, rah. I mean, and you saw that.
Bomb. Yes.
Yeah. And you saw that even, you know, in CNN and all the media, they were like lapping this stuff up. They loved it. You know? Cause all of the questions of, does this make sense? Is this the right thing to do? Blah, blah, blah. Those are boring, but oh my God, look at that video of the missiles! Bomb exploding.
Tomahawks!
Yeah, exactly.
The Moab.
So anyway, access of adults, like we were saying about Kushner last week, I think it was last week. You know, if we've got people who sit down and think, and have some knowledge and use that to make their decision, even if I disagree with the decision in the end, I feel a hell of a lot better than that than if it's, you know, people who are shooting it off the hip, you know?
Well, rather than people who are like, I don't know. I keep thinking of like, who is that moron? The other punk. I can never remember Miller? That asshole. Is it Miller?
Yeah, every time you say you can't remember it, it seems to be Miller, but...
It is Miller. I don't know. That asshole's name does not want to stick in my mind. I want him, like, erased from my existence, okay? I don't know. I can never remember his fucking name. But anyway, Miller, okay? I mean, that guy... I mean, you hear the shit that a guy like that says, right? It's scary, right? It's just very scary. So... If it's somebody else who just isn't the psychopath, I'm almost like having a relief moment.
Hmm. Right. Okay. So.
Look, but here's the thing.
Yes.
Listen, Trump loves ratings and numbers, right?
Yes. Yes, he does.
So, we were talking about the adult moments and that stuff, right? I mean, his ratings improved. I mean, if he feeds off of that, is that going to drive him to do more of that?
Yes, I think so. But I mean, the thing that, you know, made his ratings start turning up again was bombing people, you know, so.
Yeah, part of it. Yeah.
So I'm not sure. At some point I'll update those little charts I had, cause it's actually interesting, just by glancing at it. I was talking a few weeks ago about the difference between a job approval and favorability. But as job approval has started to go up again, guess what? Favorability has been going down.
Really?
Yes. So
okay, that's interesting.
Just a little bit. Really, none of these are moving around all that much, so it may just be noise. It's really fairly stable. There was a big up and down move in job approval, so I shouldn't say that. But I haven't updated my data and updated the graphs. I've just looked at what the pollster.com graphs are. But anyway, yeah, it looks like there's still like. These trends aren't quite in line with each other, which is just interesting. But I figured 2 months before updating my little charts. So we'll do that. Okay. Anyway, moving on from the access of adults, the next foreign policy thing is the election in Turkey.
Well, it was a referendum, wasn't it?
Yes, it was a referendum on changing the constitution to give the president more power.
Which, okay, very controversial. He's saying that he won. I heard from a number of people, you know, claiming that he committed fraud.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know if it's going to be able to be proved, and I don't know. I mean, this guy is running the country with an iron fist, so yeah, I don't know.
It's not going to matter, you know.
Right.
Even if people come out with various irregularities and blah, 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 and show that maybe it was enough to make a difference, it doesn't matter. This is a done deal. And whether it was because it was the actual election results or whether the fix was in, either way, it's a done deal.
Right.
And so now people have pointed out, you know, what's actually happening here, if you actually look, is sort of they're becoming more like the American system and less like a parliamentary system. So it's not like they're, it's still not quite absolute power, but it's a lot more than it was. It's putting power that was in the parliament and the prime minister into the president.
Well, what the hell? Our freaking like Congress has been doing that shit for years.
Yeah, but I mean, but the difference, like you said, you're already in a situation where, you know, he's putting anybody who speaks out against him in jail. You know,
if he gave Trump the chance, he probably would too.
Maybe, but he's actually doing it. You know, he puts journalists in jail. He's put academics who said things against him. I remember a couple years ago there was this thing where somebody published a picture comparing him to Gollum from The Lord of the Rings, and that guy was in trouble. You know, so
well, he tried to have a guy in Germany arrested for doing, because there's some law in Germany,
yep,
apparently, that was an obscure law that you couldn't disparage a foreign leader or something. And, you know, I don't know. I think Angela Merkel and everybody just laughed at his face and were like, are you kidding me?
Right. And this is, of course, one of the things that Flynn apparently was talking to Turkey about as part of his paid engagement with Turkey on potentially planning the kidnapping of the guy who lives in Pennsylvania, who he's convinced is plotting against him, and taking that guy back to Turkey.
Excuse me?
Oh, you hadn't seen that, had you?
No, I had not.
So this is, if you remember Mike Flynn, a few, you know, he resigned a while ago, but then he registered as a foreign agent under pressure just a few weeks ago. And the particular registration that he was doing was that he was a paid agent of the Turkish government for most of 2016, including while he was simultaneously working for Trump at certain points. And
this guy is a congenital liar, isn't he?
Yes. And apparently part of what came out about that is, I'm not going to remember all the details exactly, but they either have a transcript or him on tape or something like that, meeting with somebody from Turkey, assuring them that, you know, whether the U.S. wanted to extradite this guy or not, that he thought he could arrange for him to be forcibly removed back to Turkey.
Nice.
And basically you get, yeah, I don't think all these details were in it, but let me just say the vision that paints is him hiring a bunch of thugs to go find this guy at his house in Pennsylvania, where he's been living for a number of years now, throwing a bag over his head, tossing him into a van, taking him to a private airport, and flying him in a jet to Turkey. That's the picture I get. Yeah. So anyway, yes, that's Mike Flynn for you, our former national security advisor.
Isn't that lovely?
Yes. So anyway, Erdogan is not a particularly nice guy. And
that's the last name.
Isn't it Erdogan? How do you say it?
I thought it was Erdogan.
Say it again?
Erdogan.
Erdogan. Okay, you're probably right. I mangle names. What can I say?
I'll double check, but I think it's so.
I'm lucky if I have all the right letters in there. Don't try to hold me to putting them in the right order.
Recep
Tayyip Erdogan. This is entertaining radio here. Well, radio.
Erdogan?
Whatever.
Something.
The dude.
Right.
Anyway, this is Turkey probably going in a bad direction and things getting worse.
Not on the radio anymore, so.
I know. It's a podcast. You know, unless, you know, those people who go around with the little FM transmitters to get it in their car when they don't have a aux jack.
Good point.
I mean, there are very few of those out there because people are modernizing their cars. But, you know, there might be somebody listening to this podcast on one of those little FM transmitters.
I would, you know, I did that myself for a while.
Okay, so. Probably not. you know, we don't have enough listeners to make it all that likely. But, you know, allow me
to dream.
Yes.
It's possible.
Okay, moving on from Turkey, because we obviously don't have all that much to say about it. The other thing that we probably don't have that much to say about either is a few weeks back, we actually had Brexit. Actually, they signed the document to start the 2-year countdown. And now we have a general election scheduled.
Well, okay. So...
And you'd think...
Here's the thing that happened with that today. Look, there's two things. She called the general election basically because she said that she wanted a stronger hand. She believed a stronger mandate with it. She actually came into power without...
Right.
Being in an election. Okay, so that's the first thing. Now, the other thing about that that I heard, but I've heard that, look, it's pretty safe to say that they will win the election because Labour right now has a very unpopular person in charge of their party. Okay, so it seems safe to say it's very likely that they'll win. All of the other
parties are pretty small. I mean, this is going to be another question. We're going to talk in the next segment about the results in Georgia. But where there's a question of do they hit the 50% mark? Because it looks like they're right below that. And so will they have to do a coalition or can they win outright? I think it sounds like they'll probably win outright, but it's... If there's any question at all, it's not that anybody else is going to win. It's they're going to come short, slightly short of a majority.
Right. And so, but the other part was that was interesting, okay, which threw a wrench into this, okay, an unexpected one, was that the president of the EU at the moment, I can't remember from what country he is right now. I think he is Italian, okay? It rotated, the presidency rotates, and it rotated to Italy. Basically said that, you know what? Hey, this is not irrevocable what the UK did. If they throw out their current government and decide that they don't want to go forward with this, they don't have to, even though they triggered Article 50 already.
Well, and look, and that's been... disputed by a couple of people in terms of whether or not that's really true. But I think if that actually happened, everybody would sort of, you know, do a sigh of relief and let it happen regardless of, you know, the details. They'd figure out a way to make it happen. But
well, actually, the guy described that there was a process through which this article didn't just mention that he said it, but apparently they researched it and it seems to be legally feasible. Okay.
Yeah, like I said, they would find a way to make it happen if Britain wanted to do that. But here's the thing. It doesn't look like any of the plausible results of this election would actually go there.
Look, that's like right now what you're looking at it, right?
Yes.
I think at that moment,
I mean, you do essentially have a 2-year time frame.
Correct.
Whereby theoretically, I guess, at any time during those 2 years,
they could cut a deal, if they don't arrive at an agreement, if they don't do something, this thing is, you know, kaput.
The UK could basically come crawling back on their hands and knees saying, please, please, never mind. We're sorry. You know, I guess it's theoretically possible, but I don't think it's going to happen. I think one way or another, this is going to continue to push its way through because at this point, everybody is in the mindset of, God damn it. We may not have wanted, well, a bunch of people did want it, obviously, but we got to carry through. We've got our marching orders.
I think that a lot more people, at the other end of the spectrum, are realizing, oh my God, what a catastrophe of a mistake this is, and how expensive it's turning out to be as well. In general, I mean, it's going to be really, really costly. So,
and I think a lot of that is going to become even more clear as these negotiations go on and they realize, you know, they're not going to get a sweetheart deal where they basically get all the benefits of being in the EU without any of the responsibility.
A soft Brexit is what they describe what you're saying. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, they're not going to get that. I mean, they are by pulling out of the EU, yes, they'll get out from dealing with certain EU regulations that people didn't like, but they're going to lose a lot of stuff too.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a lot of complications. I mean, I read one thing where there was some, I forget which EU agency had its headquarters in London, and they just put out, you know, a request for proposals for other cities that want to host them instead because they're going to move out of the UK. And London is like, wait, you don't have to go. Even if we leave the EU, you can stay here. And they're like,
Are you crazy?
Yeah, we're out of here. Sorry.
Right.
You know? Okay. And that's the UK. So next, North Korea. So since we last spoke, there has not been a nuclear test yet. There has...
And what kind of test again?
Okay, stop this, Yvonne. You do this every time I say the damn word.
I'm sorry.
And I'm never going to say it correctly. And so just give up.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
I could just say, like, I could, like, go for Adam Smashy thing or something like that.
That sounds cool. Okay, there you go.
The Adam Smashy thing. Okay, so North Korea never did the Adam Smashy testy thing.
Yes.
Now, they may still at some point in the future. They did try to shoot off a missile, but it blew up right after launch, apparently.
And there was some speculation whether that was sabotage.
Yes, there was some speculation whether that was due to American sabotage, either with assets on the ground, potentially, or with something similar to Stuxnet that we did with Iran, where we are able to somehow get some software in there that just messes something subtle up, and boom, there you go. Because you don't need all that much to go wrong to blow up a rocket. It's like very finely tuned in order for it to all work correctly. So any little thing going off can result in the whole thing not working. So there's speculation, of course, neither confirmed nor denied. Or it could just be that the North Koreans haven't
figured... They suck at making shit.
Well, you know, I want to be a little bit fair here, which is that, you know, basically they're developing technology of where the U.S. was, in the early 50s.
Well, and what I'm saying is that there's skills in metallurgy and other stuff. I mean, it takes a lot of precision to make a frickin' ballistic missile.
My point is, it's not necessarily that they suck. It's just they're going through the trial and error process that folks like the U.S. went through many decades ago. But I mean, when we were first figuring it out, we lost a lot of goddamn rockets, too. Elon Musk blew up several rockets in the last couple years as he's trying to get his thing working, you know?
Well, yeah. True.
So, I mean, the fact that a few of these things blow up is actually to be expected when you're developing a new program. That's what you learn from, and you fix the things, and eventually you fix all the big bugs, and then it works. So, you know, yes, they probably would have preferred it to work right, but... It's not unexpected.
So this thing didn't blow up as a plan.
No, I'm not saying they planned to blow it up or anything, but I'm just saying that
having planned to blow up, but not blow up at launch.
Having failures as part of an R&D program is not to be unexpected. You know, that it's part of developing a new system.
I think that you're totally right. I just don't think that they've got a boss who's very understanding.
I can't speak to that. You know, I don't know the man.
The man went and, like, killed his brother, for God's sakes, with sarin gas. I don't think he sounds like the understanding type.
Was it sarin? I thought it was a different neurotoxin.
It was VX.
I think. Anyway, doesn't matter.
Whichever one of them.
But, you know, look, his brother was annoying.
Oh, well, geez, let's not annoy you.
I mean, what do you expect? I mean, the guy was going out. He was, like, living in the West. I mean, what else are you going to
do? You know, so, yeah, I guess I expect to be gassed.
As well you should. No, I look. But they've promised they're going to do one test every week from now on.
One test every week. Well, there you go. Well, you know, that takes a lot of money.
It does.
It just seems a little bit, like, crazy to be doing one test a week.
Well, I mean, I guess if they've got something else ready to test. I don't know.
One test a week? I mean, I don't get it.
That does seem like a fairly intense pace, but I
yes.
think...
Yes! I mean, how many rockets can you build and that how quickly? I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean...
Well, you know, look, the perspective I've heard is like, look, the North Koreans legitimately feel that they're being threatened by the whole damn world. Even China is pushing against them. And... So they feel like there really is a threat.
They're being threatened by the whole damn world. They're being threatened by the whole damn world because you assholes keep, like, launching rockets all over the place and fucking, like, I don't know, like, sending the exploding nuclear bombs.
Well, right. But so the rationale, though, is, you know, the U.S., South Korea have all sorts of troops just south of us. They've got all kinds of military might. They could attack us at any moment. Hell, the Trump administration put out noises. There were news reports last week that they were thinking of preemptive attacks. So the actually rational response to that, if you don't want to just say, ah, forget it, we're going to give up power, let you guys take over, is, okay, we have to accelerate all our research programs to get to the point where we realistically can threaten the West Coast of the United States so that we have some sort of deterrence power. Now, they already can threaten Seoul, of course.
Yes.
But, you know, I think where they are is, okay, maybe that's not enough. They're still going to attack us at any moment. So we need to make sure we have an offensive capability that'll make them think twice about it.
Well, that sounds fantastic.
Well, and this is how you get into arms race scenarios. But of course, in this case, we're so far ahead. It's not a race, but they feel like they have to, like, catch up as fast as they can so that they could have some sort of way to counter the forces lined up against them. Now, of course, as you've pointed out, and I think is absolutely correct, the other response to this is, hey, you know, there's no real conflict here. Why can't we be friends? To go back to the war song.
Exactly. Go back to that damn thing.
You know, and so with that, they could de-escalate. But North Korea is not about to do that, at least not with its current leadership. And who knows what the next leadership would be, you know. So otherwise, moving on to North Korea, there were two other interesting things I think worth noting. One was Trump was quoted at one point apparently being confused about who the leader in Korea really was, didn't realize the previous guy had died, sort of talked about things as if there'd been the same leader there for the last 20 years. And you notice I'm not saying names either, because I always forget. It's Kim Jong-un and Kim Jong-il was before
something
him.
Something like that, yeah.
And there was, what was the grandfather? Who was the grandfather?
Who knows? I can't remember. Dim sum? I mean, I don't know.
Okay, wait. Here you go. List of North Korean leaders. It was Kim Il-sung, then Kim Jong-il, then Kim Jong-un.
Un. Okay, yeah.
So, apparently... Donald Trump was a little bit confused that there'd been a transition because he talked about.
I'm not going to blame him. Okay.
As if there had been the same leader all along, which was not the case. So that was interesting enough. Just another area where Trump was a little
confused. Well, he doesn't know anything about anything. Yeah. Okay. Right.
But next is this thing with the carrier group.
Well, I mean, they lied about it. It's very simple.
Well, that's actually one of the things that's under debate. Did they lie, or did they just not know, or did they just not care?
I think they just lied.
So the thing is, what the Trump administration said, and I guess what Donald Trump himself said, is we've got an armada on the way to Korea. It turns out that the carrier group was actually heading the opposite direction.
Correct.
And kept going the other direction to, they were doing military exercises with the Australian Navy or something like that. And so they kept going. They did the previously scheduled exercises. And now that those are over, now they're heading back to Korea. But they didn't cancel any of the things they were doing. And so certainly the way that Trump talked about it implied they're going straight there. Now, Spicer came out and said, we didn't lie. We said they were going there. We didn't say when.
Right. Oh, God. Freaking disingenuous asshole.
And so we've had South Korean officials saying, you know, basically, okay, so now we know we can't trust Donald Trump. Okay.
Newsflash.
Right. But at the same time, it's like, this is like, okay, let's say it was a bluff. And we were wanted the North Koreans to think that the carrier group was coming, but we didn't really want to send the carrier group, so we were bluffing. The right way to do that, now I don't think that's necessarily the right approach anyway, but if you were going there, wouldn't you want to at least tell the South Koreans what the plan was?
That would be nice, no?
I guess not. To finish out foreign policy, and then we'll move on to domestic. There's also been a thing with Russian bombers coming near Alaska, coming within a few miles of our territory.
Yeah, you know, did you notice what kind of bombers we're talking about?
No, I didn't. Tell me.
This is the stupid ancient, right? ancient propeller fucking bombers, TU Bears.
And by the way, to point out, they were coming close, but they stayed in international waters. They did, in the air, international airspace. They didn't actually violate our airspace. They just headed in that direction. And,
right.
You know, and that's the sort of testing that has gone on forever. I mean, there was talk, last month or the month before about the Russian spy boat off the East Coast.
It is Soviet. What are you talking about? You know.
Yeah, I keep slipping backwards and forwards in time. Sorry, it's like, you know, a thing I do. But people were like, oh, there's a spy boat off Delaware. I mean, it happens all the freaking time. They're in international waters. There's not a damn fucking thing we can do about it. There's not a damn thing we should do about it. And they do it all the time. And by the way, we do it to them all the time too. So shut the fuck up and don't worry. You know, unless they actually cross over that line and start heading towards Anchorage, it's not really a big deal.
Right. And like I said, those bombers are ancient. Who cares? I mean, it's not a threat to America. It's just whatever. You know, we intercepted those damn bombers with like a freaking F-22 fighters, for God's sakes. I mean, come on. I mean, if we wanted to freaking like obliterate them out of the sky, it would take 2 seconds. The radar signature of those things is so big. I mean, you don't even have to use radar to find them. You can hear them, for God's sakes, you know, approaching you. They're not very stealthy.
Yeah. Now, having said that, there are a few situations that become, okay, yeah, that's kind of a biggish deal that we maybe should pay attention to, is when you get things like, our boats or planes coming into dangerously close proximity with each other. We've had a few situations with like Iran buzzing American stuff, or China doing that. And Russia probably has done it at various times too. There's still sort of seeing who blinks. And there's not like an actual intention to cause an accident or something. But whenever things get too close, you're like, okay, there was significant opportunity there for something to go wrong. Like, I think the Chinese Air Force, not necessarily Air Force, but Chinese planes, like, buzzed American ships last month or the month before, coming within, like, 20 feet of each other. And, okay, you could see that potentially having a lot of potential for error there, but... You know, they weren't going to intentionally crash or anything. They were just trying to intimidate.
Right. So. Yeah.
Okay. Last thing on my list in the international category is we had another shooting, this time Paris.
Yeah.
Anything else to say on that? I mean, we had several domestic shootings this week, too.
They went and they, I saw the thing about the shooting and whatchamacallit, idiots, whatever their name, you know, ISIS took credit for it. Not that I believe them anymore because they just seem to take credit for anything, anytime anything happens. It was in the middle of a Champs-Élysées, some police officer dead, but there's not many details more than that. I mean, that's pretty much it.
Okay, and one other thing I realized was international. We also have reports that U.S. authorities are preparing to file charges against Julian Assange.
Oh, I forgot about that one! Yes! That would be hilarious.
So all this time he's been hiding in the embassy. He's been what he says is he's not actually hiding from the rape charges in Sweden.
He's hiding from the U.S.
He's hiding from the U.S. because he feels like if he goes to Sweden to face the rape charges, he'll be extradited to the U.S. No charges had been publicly filed against him, although he kept saying maybe there's a sealed indictment or something going on. But now apparently we haven't done it yet, but there reports that charges against Julian Assange are imminent.
But I find it hilarious.
I'll be interested to see exactly what they charge him with.
Right. I mean, just to see the whole damn thing, but well, it's just, you
because,
know.
Because look, if he's press, like, if fundamentally people are leaking to him and he's publishing them. Now, maybe the fact that he's international changes some of this, but like if he was a U.S. outlet, he'd be protected under the First Amendment for publishing. I mean, for many of his releases, he worked with the New York Times and others, and they published the things too. And so the person who would be breaking the law in those cases would not be Julian Assange. It would be the people who leaked to Julian Assange.
Correct.
And so, I'm very interested to see exactly what they charge him with, because in order to, as I understand it, in order for him to directly be considered breaking a law of some sort, he would have to be soliciting specific things. Like he'd have to be going to someone who had access to classified information, let's say, and
soliciting them to break the law.
And soliciting them to break the law.
Maybe
or
they
paying
have
rec- them to break the law. And maybe he did, but I actually hadn't seen reports of that yet. For the most part, it's all been like he set up a mechanism for people to give him stuff, and people started giving him stuff.
Right.
And, you know, and as we talked about last week, there's an argument that, hey, maybe some of those people that are giving him stuff are actually agents of intelligence agencies like the Russians or others.
Right.
But still, it's other people giving him stuff and then him deciding this is newsworthy. I'm going to publish it. To me, that sounds like, you know, a press activity, not a spying activity. But maybe they have him on something else, or maybe there's something about, you know, where they can get him on sort of being, you know, actively aggressive against the United. I don't know. It seems weird.
Right.
I'll be very interested to see what they actually charge him with, if they actually do charge him with. And then, you know, what next? Do they have something new that they can pressure Colombia with to let him out?
Ecuador,
sorry, not Colombia. Yeah, it's all the same, right?
Not particularly.
Oh.
Oops. Yeah, tell that to my wife.
Ecuador. To pressure Ecuador to let him loose or do we still end up with him living in the damn Ecuadorian embassy in London for the next 20 years?
Maybe.
So. Okay. Or does, Putin slip him some polonium or something?
Maybe. That would be, that wouldn't be surprise me. Would that surprise you?
No, I would not be shocked in the slightest. If one day Assange just shows up dead, I would not be surprised.
I mean, there's been a great tendency, continued tendency of anybody who apparently all of a sudden becomes a liability to the Soviet Russia, whatever the hell you want to call them, because they're kind of like it's the new Soviet Union over there. All of a sudden winds up falling out a window.
Of course, if that were to happen, there'd be a big dispute, and you could see the internet arguments already.
Who killed him, right?
Yeah, was it the Americans that killed him? Was it the Russians that killed him? Was it one of the women he raped that killed him? Who the fuck knows? He's pissed off everybody. So,
yep, basically, even people that he's worked with. So,
especially people that he's worked with.
Yeah.
And like we
said, they're not very keen on him.
Yeah, report after report after report of people who've worked with this guy say that, forget all the politics of it, just on a personal level, the guy's an ass. He's a dick. Yes. He's an ass. He is the kind of person that you spend time with him, you get annoyed.
Yep.
You're like, I don't want to interact with you anymore because you suck. And some people put up with it anyway because they believe in the mission or the politics or whatever. But nobody likes this man.
Nope.
So I shouldn't say nobody. I'm sure somebody does. His mom probably likes him. I don't know.
Well, Trump used to like him, and now all of a sudden, apparently, he wants to get him arrested.
Well, things change.
Apparently, very quickly with Trump.
Okay, let's take another break. We will come back. We will talk domestic stuff after this. Hey, we know when you listen to this show, you have thoughts about what we say. You probably want to vent about what we got wrong or what we left out, right? Or maybe you want to suggest some future topics we just haven't gotten to yet. Well then, tell us all about it. Right now, there are 4 ways to get feedback to us. First, you can go to the Curmudgeon's Corner Facebook page and leave comments on the post where we announce all the new episodes. Second, you could go to curmudgeonscorner.com, that's with a hyphen, and leave a comment there instead. Third, both Yvonne and I are on Twitter. You can talk to me at Abulsme, A-B-U-L-S-M-E, or Yvonne at I-M-B-O, I-M-B-O-U. Finally, if you don't want to make your comments in a public forum like that, just email me directly at abulsme@abulsme.com. Again, that's A-B-U-L-S-M-E. But, if you don't want us to mention your feedback on the show, be sure to say so, because otherwise we're probably going to respond to your comments on a future show, because, that's what makes the discussion. Thanks, and we look forward to hearing from you. Okay, we are back. Time for domestic policy stuff. And by the way, the Trump-Russia stuff could fit into either the international or domestic. But let's just say for the moment, there continue to be a drip, drip, drip of new things that sort of come out. But we still don't have any smoking gun. It's just more stuff that looks weird and looks suspicious. And that's where we are. Anything else you want to say on that? I don't think there's a lot new to really talk about.
Well, okay, so you had that recusal a couple of weeks ago of Nunez because of the investigation that's going into him, right? Okay, isn't it quite interesting that now Chaffetz, which is also somebody in charge of oversight over the administration, decided to, I guess I don't really like this oversight job too much. I gotta quit.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, just like that, I'm quitting. You're like, what? A few people rumoring that there is maybe something that is some kind of a bomb waiting to blow up that he just didn't want to be sitting on.
Yeah, but also apparently he registered a whole bunch of domains related to potential runs for governor or even president in coming years. So it may be that, or it may just be like, he's like...
Well, I get that, but they're saying that he may not even serve out the term and just quit now.
Yeah, he might, but, you know, look, the other way to look at it is... You know, actually being in power instead of being in opposition is no fucking fun because you have to actually figure out how to get things done.
Well, and in part, he is charged with oversight of this administration. Apparently, he wants no part of it.
Right. And so, wouldn't it be a lot more fun to give this stuff up and start planning on the next run for office where he can once again talk about how the people in power suck and he would be better?
Maybe.
So yeah, I don't know. I get it. You know, maybe there's something weird in his closet, but I don't know that there has to be. I think there's, you know,
there's just some. It's just listen. The thing is that it something is not right. Sits me right with this. Just because usually the people look at Marco Rubio run for president, right? He didn't go and quit the Senate. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So what made this guy all of a sudden just, resign? That's just what's bugging me. I find it just, it's just not the norm. And to quit he just got realized less than 6 months ago, man. I mean, it's so early. I don't know. Something is just doesn't sit right with me about this. I just don't know. It just seems weird. That's it. That's all I'm saying. And there's a lot of speculation now because of that, so.
Yeah.
Would be some fun if something came up.
Yeah, and I've seen lots of stuff, too, about, like, when you talk about the Russia connections. and I'm not saying necessarily this guy, but when you talk about, and actually, let's expand it from Russia. If you start digging into sort of people being corrupt, pretty much everybody in Congress has something that
looks
stupid or bad or whatever. It's inherent in the culture. And so I've heard a bunch of talk that, these congressional committees, one of the reasons they don't want to dig too deep, even the Democrats, is if they dig too deep, they'll find practices that they do too.
Right.
And so, yeah.
So you're basically saying
on that, Russia?
That they're all like, none of them are relishing an investigation regardless.
Yeah, I don't think anybody is really relishing that. And part of that, I mean, the Republicans certainly don't want to rock that boat. The Democrats, I think, are kind of eager to, but they want to concentrate in certain very narrow areas because they know if it expands too much beyond that, then it's like, oh my God, everybody's full of shit. So.
Well, I think we agree on that.
Yeah, I do. Anything else on Russia? We had Page, we had Gorka, we had, I don't think, again, the bottom line is we have slow drips of additional information, but still no smoking gun. We've got rumors. We've got lots and lots of rumors. And again, like, if you want to see the apotheosis of the rumors, go look up Louise Mensch, because she's all over that. She's, like, so far ahead of what any of the quote-unquote respectable media has said. And she's had a track record of getting some of it right in the past. So maybe there's something to it. But I kind of actually feel like she's the somebody in the intelligence community, whether it's the 20 committee guy or somebody else, who's feeding her certain things. And I don't have a good sense of how much of that stuff is real and true versus how much of it is just more propaganda. So that's why I sort of, like, I look at that stuff and I'm like, oh, that's interesting. And yes, it does kind of form a coherent picture, but it's a lot of really fucking out there speculation. Let's wait a little bit for real evidence to come in, because I'm guessing some of that might be true, but half of it is probably bullshit. So if you want to see the way out there stuff, go there. Sam from the future here. Between when Yvonne and I recorded this and when I'm putting this out, BuzzFeed put out a nice long article on Louise Mensch and how she's sort of out there and accusing all kinds of people about being Russian agents and that, you know, all kinds of stuff that basically points to just how far out there she is in conspiracy theory, nut job land. So if you want to check that out, the title is Louise Mensch Has a List of Suspected Russian Agents. It's by Joseph Bernstein at BuzzFeed, and it was posted on April 21st. It looks like they posted some updates on it on the 22nd as well. I haven't reread it to see what they changed. But in any case, yes, if you want to see sort of a takedown on the craziest stuff that Mensch is doing, take a look at that. There may be something to some of it. Like I said, I suspect that she's sort of being fed things by people who have an agenda in order to, with her own investigation. There are a number of other people that are sort of independent amateurs chasing this stuff. You know, they may dig up some interesting stuff, but they also may dig up all kinds of stuff that's not real. So the careful, sober stuff that's published in the mainstream media, guess what? That's the stuff that's been vetted enough for the most part that you know that there's at least something behind it. And even then, some of it's going to be wrong, and because that's how news works. But they apply a much higher bar than Louise Mensch and some of the other amateurs who are doing this stuff. Anyway, Otherwise, if you discount that, it's just sort of the slow grinding of the process of investigation.
Yeah, but what about, for example, what about, this one was interesting this week, and I just remembered that I forgot about this. We're talking about all of these investigations going on. The fact that apparently for the FISA warrant for Carter Page, that they actually apparently used the dossier to
yes,
justify it. All of a sudden, I was like, what
apparently,
the hell?
They used some elements from the dossier to
justify getting the warrant.
Now, remember, though, that it's enough to justify a warrant is a much lower bar, and even the FISA warrant is a little bit lower.
Agreed. But what that goes to, the point that goes to is to how many people actually thought that the stuff in that dossier was actually credible.
Yeah, I mean, that's the reason of a lot of this investigation. And when the dossier was first reported, a lot of the reporting around it was about how it was being taken very seriously in the intelligence community, both the FBI, the CIA, etc. That's
which is one thing that dumbfounds me as to you know what, BuzzFeed got all this shit for supposedly publishing it for publishing it first, but then you find out that real like intelligence agencies and agencies that investigate crimes were actually looking at this as real stuff.
Well, at least real enough that it was worth looking into. Now, right. But where it all stopped is apparently as they were looking into it, there was very little that they could independently confirm. Now, however, I've heard some experts talking about the FISA thing on various shows I've listened to over the last week, saying basically, look, the dossier by itself would not be enough for a FISA court to grant a warrant. It's sort of, it's too many steps removed. It's a source told a source told a source who gave us this document, you know, and they would want something more solid than that. So if the dossier was included in what was given to the FISA court, then it would have to, at least some parts of it would have to have been independently confirmed, or it wouldn't have been enough for FISA.
Okay, so that means that there wasn't just a dossier, but some other stuff as well.
Right.
Oh, fuck.
Now, but it may be minor elements in the dossier that are confirmed elsewhere, not like the big things that everybody is talking about. Like, it's certainly not the P-tape, but it might be the confirmation that a certain meeting did occur.
Right.
But we still don't know what was said in the meeting. But if they could independently confirm the meeting occurred, it gives credence to the dossier, and that maybe what the dossier said about what was said actually has something to do with it.
Right.
So.
Fun, huh?
Yep. Okay. I was trying to not talk about Russia. And that worked really well.
Well, that we failed at that.
And the only reason that's in the domestic section is because, of course, it impacts the president and blah, 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 sort of local politics. So other domestic stuff. Healthcare's back.
Oh, come on. It's not back. Okay. What is back? Let's see. Trump said that there could be a vote next week. Okay. The problem is that there's no bill to vote on.
Well, remember, a week before the last vote, there wasn't a bill either. Like, they brought it together in the last few days.
No. It took longer than that. Okay, all right.
A week before
we had a bill. It was at the committee. They're saying
there was something in the committee, but it was still being adjusted.
Now we don't have anything.
We have an outline of principles.
Right.
And this
there
outline of
principles nothing written.
And this outline of principles, by the way, apparently comes from negotiations between the Freedom Caucus and the Tuesday Group, between a handful of individuals in those two areas. But it's by no means clear that they have the support of everybody in between anyway. Like, even for this high-level thing without any specifics.
Right. So isn't that something? I don't know. This is ridiculous. I mean, he's saying, yeah, we're going to have a vote next week. Oh, yeah,
He wants to get it in before the 100 days. This is the thing. The Trump administration
is... So now they're focused on the 100 days thing.
Yes, they are obsessed on the 100 days thing and want to have, you know, a big... Be able to roll out their list of big successes from the first 100 days.
Can I tell you something? They're kind of fucked.
Well, here's the thing. Even if a miracle occurs and they manage to get something through the House... There's nothing happening in the Senate in the next week.
Right.
You know, it's going to take...
Is that why they're saying that there's going to be a vote next week? It's like nutty thing.
I mean, look, it's unclear if this even has support to go through the House. There's no actual bill here. It has all of the same problems that the last one happened. That made it unpopular. I should turn off the sound on my phone. It keeps like making noises. But it has all of the same issues that made the last one unpopular, you know, and it has all the same issues that made it hard for all of the Republicans to get behind it because of bridging the gaps between the different wings of the Republican Party. So, And as you said, there are no specifics yet. And often the problems with these things are in the specifics. So even if you agree on the outline, once you put down the details, then people are
Nobody likes it. But let's be clear, even the outline of this thing.
Yeah, even the outline.
It's horrible. I mean, the outline is atrocious. I mean, I don't know anybody who is like lighting up to say, yay, this build's great. It fixes all the problems. Now, the other one's not. It's worse.
Yeah. So they're not gonna ram through this thing in the next week.
No. I mean, this build, the new build that they came up with, is worse than the old one. I mean, what the hell?
I mean, the main thing, by the way, is they've tried to finesse these things about whether or not you have the coverage on pre-existing conditions, for instance. We're saying we will continue to have the mandate. However, they can charge extra.
They can basically just, right, they can charge you like 100 times more than it cost before. So it's like, yeah, gee, thanks a lot.
Right, but they still have to cover you. They can't say we're not going to cover you. They can just say it costs
$100,000 for it.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
And also, for various parts of this as well, they're putting in more places where the states can exempt themselves from these rules. So the rule still exists, but the state can exempt themselves. Now, theoretically, the exemptions would still have to be, they would have to show why whatever they're proposing instead would be better. But how that decision is made is unclear.
Listen, what they proposed is it improves nothing. It doesn't expand coverage. It doesn't, I mean, it doesn't save the tax. I mean, it doesn't save, like, individuals' money. I mean, all it does is try to jam something down again that just really sucks and is worse than the last version. And
as I said, they're probably still going to fail in the House, but they're concentrating so much on the House. There's no way this will make it through the Senate.
No.
Like, even if it still meets the rules for 50 votes, or you get rid of the filibuster or whatever, you're going to have a hard time getting 50 Republicans, because there's a whole different dynamic in the Senate. And so, I'm not going to say completely impossible, but I will say very unlikely. This is
highly
still going
unlikely.
Nowhere.
Yes.
This is still...
I mean, what they are doing is not getting them anywhere anytime soon. That is for sure. Okay? So, yeah. So, Donald, yeah, you could just, you know, he doesn't even drink, for God's sakes. I don't even understand how he says all this bullshit. The son of a bitch doesn't even drink.
Would it be all explainable to you if he was just drunk all the time? Is that what you're saying?
At least he'd have an excuse.
So anyway, but now the excuse of bringing up healthcare again is because they need to get some cost savings from healthcare in order to get the taxes that they want.
They're trying to get a win, is what they're trying to do. Since they haven't been able to do dick. They're trying to get a win. And they think this is a winning thing. It's retarded.
You know, if they were really looking for a win, skip all the shit and try to do something on infrastructure or something.
Yeah.
Where you actually potentially have some hope of Democratic cooperation.
Yes. Agreed. But they haven't touched. They don't have a plan on that either.
Well, because of course, the Republicans would only want to do an infrastructure program that doesn't actually involve spending any money on it.
Right. Exactly.
And that's kind of tricky.
Yes, that is very, very tricky to do an infrastructure plan that involves spending no money whatsoever. Yes.
Okay. Any further developments on any of this other stuff?
Tax reform. They said also that they had something on tax reform. And,
What did they have? Do they have what?
The stock market went up today on some blurb by some guy in the administration saying, oh yeah, we may have a deal on taxes too.
Any specifics? Anything?
No, of course not. What specifics? What are you talking about? This is the Trump administration we're talking about. I mean, that's another one, but there's nothing. I mean, it's like, oh, yeah, we may have a deal. Deal on what?
Yeah, okay, so, anything more on these congressional things?
Let's see, congressional things. No, I think those are the ones that, you know.
So, the one other notice that, you know, there have actually been alerts while we've been talking here.
Yeah.
Is this whole thing with executions in Arkansas?
Yeah, the ones that they were trying to do right before I think that they were saying that the drugs that they were going to use were going to expire.
Right, and no one was willing to sell them to them.
Sell them any. That's right, yes.
And so...
To be honest with you, it's kind of... You know, it is very silly, the whole thing that, you know, the drugs aren't like food. They don't go bad. The expiration date on the drugs, what it really means is that the efficacy of what you purchased goes below, I think it's 90% or a specified percentage.
Well, but also,
that's it.
But also, they are, of course, not using these particular drugs for what they were intended to, because they're not intended to kill people.
Exactly.
It's actually drugs that have some sort of actual pharmaceutical purpose,
right.
Aside from killing people. They're essentially intentionally overdosing people in order to kill them. And there's a cocktail of drugs they use. Like, there's one to knock you out, there's one to paralyze you, and then there's one to stop your heart. You know, I believe is the sequence of events that they do. Although it varies depending on the specific...
As you just described it, I just cringed. It sounds so disgusting.
Yeah. Well, because basically they do it in such a way to make it so that if there are negative reactions and it's painful or whatever, you're paralyzed. So there's not a damn fucking thing that you can do to show that as you're dying. So
That's nice. So
it looks peaceful, but you don't know what's actually going on in there.
Right.
But, you know. Apparently, the Supreme Court just it has been blocking all week. There have been a bunch of these that are blocked, but they just let one go through. So apparently, one guy is going to get executed tonight, probably.
Hmm.
But they were trying to push through what was it, seven
like
or
10,
eight?
I thought,
yeah,
it was.
It was like in a 10-day period, they were going to kill like 7 or 8 people, maybe 10, like you said, because they just wanted to get all of these out of the way before the drugs expired. Again, like you said, though, the drug expired, so... They're going to be like, what, negative side effects as you're killing the guy?
No, it's not like the drug
you
just
probably,
stops working after
maybe,
the expiration
date. Maybe you need
date.
A little bit more of it. Or
right, that's and, about it.
And
that,
it and,
that would be the only...
And like you said, it's not a magic date either. Like, it's not like it suddenly changes on Friday.
Yeah, it just like stops working that day, you know? I mean, you know?
There's not going to be any significant difference between doing it Friday and doing it Saturday.
Nope, not whatsoever. Not whatsoever.
But I think it is interesting that, you know, the companies who are, you know, are basically saying, no, we're not going to sell this product for that purpose. It's unethical. We're not going to sell it to you. The states who have been using these have been doing things like getting the drugs from secret places that they won't reveal. Out of state, doing various things. You know, I've heard reports that in some cases they were getting supplies from veterinary supplies instead of human supplies because they were able to sort of finesse that somehow. All kinds of bullshit around this. But apparently it's gotten to the point where execution by lethal injection is essentially not happening anymore because nobody can acquire the drugs. So
right.
At least some states are moving back to other methods. And I forget which state it was, apparently is preparing for their next execution to once again be by firing squad for the first time in like almost 100 years. Yeah. So I don't know. I'm openly anti-death penalty. I think all of this is ridiculous. We shouldn't be putting people to death. You don't make up for somebody being a murderer by murdering them. I think that's all ridiculous. But you know, regardless of these individual cases, if you look at long-term trend graphs of the number of executions in the United States, it's down, 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 down. Even in the states that are known for it, like Texas, it's way down from what it used to be. So I think it's only a matter of time until the death penalty is gone in this country like it is in most of the rest of the civilized world. Now, obviously, there are lots of countries that still have the death penalty, but it's gone in a lot of the world, and I think it's only a matter of time till it's gone here, too. But how long is an open question?
Yeah.
So, and of course, there's time after time we're finding, like, you know, yes, mistakes happen. Yes, we've found out on a number of cases that somebody was innocent after we killed them.
It's been known to happen.
You know, and it's, you know, of the many arguments, like, I think the death penalty is wrong, even if you know 100 with 100% certainty the guy is guilty or woman is guilty. But if you also know that there's a non-trivial chance you could be killing somebody who didn't do a damn thing, it should be completely off the table immediately.
I agree. Our criminal justice system is not perfect enough for this.
Right.
That's what I believe. So.
Okay. That's it for domestic. Yvonne, do you really want to do a lightning round or should we cut this off? We talked about maybe doing a 90-minute show. We're just over 90 minutes now.
We haven't gone over feedback.
Oh, feedback. Well, let's take a break. We'll do
Let's go over to feedback and then we'll...
feedback and I don't know if there's anything else that comes up. We'll be back right after this. You're listening to this podcast. Do you like it?
No!
Do you want to support the show?
No!
Well, after you have subscribed to the show, followed us on Facebook, and told all your friends they should be listening to, what else can you do?
I won't subscribe!
You can help fund our Patreon at patreon.com/curmudgeonscorner. Patreon is a way you can throw us a few bucks a month to help out with the expenses of the show. You know, web hosting, equipment, a little bit of advertising to promote the show, and maybe every once in a while some much needed sedatives for Yvonne. At different contribution levels, you can get a mention on the show, our Curmudgeon's Corner postcard, or even a Curmudgeon's Corner mug. Fun stuff.
Not fun.
In any case, the contributions help tell us that you enjoy and appreciate the show.
I really, really hate Curmudgeon's Corner.
Are we worth a buck a month?
No!
$5 a month?
No!
Or if you are nuts about us, maybe even more.
$100 billion, even though you don't have anywhere near $1 billion.
If we're worth anything to you at all, send it our way at patreon.com/curmudgeonscorner.
Alex hates, really, really hates, Curmudgeon's Corner! That's really mean, isn't it? But I hate Curmudgeon's Corner, but I really do!
Okay, we are back. And so a few pieces of feedback. There are two that I'd missed because somebody actually provided feedback on my blog on abelsmay.com for the posts announcing the episodes. And I admit, for whatever reason, I'm not as good at seeing those and responding to those as the ones on Facebook. And I'm sorry. I apologize. But there's one from our friend Ed. From the responding to the show that was published on March 24th, where we talked about that's one that you know, yeah. Ed was actually on, where we talked about podcasts that people liked, and he mentioned that he had forgot to say that he also listens to Smirkonish quite often. It's not a podcast, but he says it's a fairly sane program with minimal partisanship. And I think I may have heard that once or twice, but I'm not really familiar with it. I couldn't place
it. I haven't watched the program myself either,
so I can't say. But okay. And then Ed also responded to our April 8th show, where we were talking about Donald Trump and Syria. So let me read his comment, and then we can react if we want. Your discussion of Donald Trump's strategy with regard to Syria makes clear what I was attempting to point out in a Facebook post discussing strategic planning. Before anything else is done, the leader of strategic planning must state a clear-cut mission for the plan. That mission statement must be clear and understandable, and in general should be an end-type result. For example, the mission of Gulf War II appeared to be, although never clearly stated to the nation, was to depose Hussein. That is easy to understand, but clearly was not an end result. Deposing him led to chaos and increased war, death, and destruction, plus the emergence of ISIS. A better mission would have been to establish a government in Iraq that promotes freedom of Iraqi citizens. One of the objectives to achieve that would have been to depose Hussein. However, that would have only been one of 6 to 8 objectives. The others would have included items such as establishing an effective military and police force with leadership supporting the new government, establishing a government acceptable to the majority of Iraqis that accepts the rights of subgroups such as the Kurds, and reestablishing an economy of businesses and trade. Since none of those appeared in planning, none were given attention, and instead just sort of occurred happenstance, leading to major instances of fraud, suppression of subgroups, and other bad outcomes. Donald Trump has not even gone so far as to make any sort of mission. He simply reacted to a bad event with a military action that has been ready for months as a means of supporting a strategic plan. As a standalone strategy, military actions are simply killing exercises with minimal likelihood of benefit. If Mr. Trump was hoping that this action would get the attention of Premier Xi, with whom he was dining as the attack occurred, I doubt it got that man's attention.
And that's that makes a lot of sense. I agree. There's nothing to argue on that point.
And then one final piece of feedback. And this is from Jen about our last show. In our last show, we started out reminiscing about our episode where we gave a supercut of us swearing. And Jen starts out by quoting you and saying, quote, averaging one fuck every 45 seconds sounds exhausting. And then when I mentioned to her that I would share that with you, Yvonne, she said, please do. I was going to also make a comment about Yvonne's stamina, but I refrained, sort of, obviously. So.
Well.
So one fuck every 45 seconds, huh, Yvonne? That's how you do it?
There have been times. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Okay, well, yeah. So, that's all I want to hear about that as well. So, do we want to do a quick lightning round on at least a couple other topics?
I can't even read my list anymore.
Okay. Yep. Then, on that exciting note from Yvonne and Jen,
yes.
It's time to wrap this up.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm blushing at this point. So, okay, let's wrap it up.
So thanks, everybody, for listening to yet another Curmudgeon's Corner. We always love having you. As usual, go to all the normal places. Find us on Facebook. We're Curmudgeon's Corner on Facebook. Like our Facebook page. Share our posts about our episodes. Tell your friends that you like us, too. Assuming you like us. Another thing that I have not mentioned in a long time here on the show, but, you know, everybody says this is important and we should always tell people to do this. If you like the show, go find the listing on iTunes for this show and leave a nice review for us.
That would be nice.
Give us some stars. Leave a comment about what you like about the show. Things like that. Apparently, leaving reviews on iTunes is one of the things that Apple uses to help surface podcasts to people. And so more good reviews are good. We've got 2 reviews right now. Only 2. We'd like some more. And then, leave comments on the Facebook page as well for anything that you want us to talk about or reacting to the things we've said. And, what else, Yvonne? Oh, yeah, if you want to support us a little bit to help defray the costs of the show, go to Patreon. Patreon.com/curmudgeonscorner, no hyphens, no spaces, no apostrophes, just, you know, patreon.com/curmudgeonscorner. And, you know, $1, $2 a month, whatever, you know, it just is a nice way of showing that you appreciate the show. So thanks, everybody. That's it. Have a great week, everybody. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.